to advertise, email podcast@thisismaji.com.
Release yourself from order and logic and enter a new place. It's not work. It's not home. Here, no maps have been drawn. No books have been written. Nothing is certain. Everything is possible. Welcome to podcast and chill with Matt G.
I'm assuming this doesn't end well.
The Buccaneers find themselves in very familiar territory, the semi-finals of the MTN 8. And the English football season looks to return just as it finished with a Manchester derby. This is Onside ZA, brought to you by Betway. Get way more. Joining me on the show today, Mr. Len Moleko.
Yes, sir.
Tseppy Worldwide.
Hey, darling.
Welcome, darling. And also joining us is everybody's favorite super sub.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us as always, ballers. Remember, if you are joining as a new user on the Betway app, use the affiliate code ONSIDEZA. It really helps us out a lot. I started off my intro talking about the Buccaneers through to the semi-final of the MTN 8. Super sub, you were there.
Yes, I witnessed it.
We didn't even get an invite.
A couple things about the game itself against SuperSport United. Mm-hmm. Gavin Hunt, typically a shrewd operator, had the team set up really well.
Yeah.
But chances flowed for both teams. Both teams looked rusty on the finishing, I'd say.
You could tell that it's a first game of the season.
First game of the season.
That's why Pitso Mosimane hated that the competition starts. I mean, the league starts with the competition, you know. Those are the results of starting the league with the competition. They were rusty, you could see, you know. And I think it could have gone either way.
Yeah, it really could have. Yeah. I mean, it went to extra time, which killed my bet slip, by the way.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
With Pirates, it's win or draw.
Win or draw.
Yeah.
Len Moleko, your thoughts on the game? I think SuperSport United defended well, like were set up well, let's put it that way. We're set up well to deal with Pirates. And then the creativity that Pirates had on display was impressive. And I think that bodes well for them looking forward in the season, being able to break down a shrewd defensive line.
Yeah, look, for Hunt to go to Orlando and put up the performance that he did. And I know it's something that Orlando Pirates were actually very wary of, in that I think the last game they played against SuperSport United was a 1-1. And SuperSport United are one of those teams that are a potential banana slip at any given time. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And in them being a banana slip, you look at the business that they did during the transfer window and potentially not even done with that. And you could see, as rusty as they looked, SuperSport United are going to be a team to be reckoned with this season.
I agree with that. And if you look at that team, he had like 5 new starters in that team. You know, like the likes of Poole, obviously, is coming from Orlando Pirates. And you can tell that, you know what, those guys are gonna be a team to reckon with, because they really, really played well, you know. And I'll be honest, I think Orlando Pirates were lucky in that game, you know, to get away with the win, you know. And for SuperSport, I think you know, there's other elements that we can bring into the game of the officiating, you know, that a lot of people are not happy with. And I think it's a point that we have to discuss, you know.
Look, let me align my point properly. You can speak now, because my point was all over the place.
Before we got carried away, I just want to say that it was a good balance, or, you know, the personnel that Gavin Hunt had on the field. You know, you've mentioned that he had 5 new people onto the pitch, but also it was so pleasant to see the likes of Brady Grobler, who still, for some reason, at his advanced age, is still one of the top goal scorers, still there and playing his trade and doing what he does best. He did pose a huge threat to Orlando Pirates. It was also nice to see, I think, Hlajwayo was also playing. Yeah, you know, people that have been, there we go. You know, people that have been with SuperSport United for so long. And it just shows also just how, you know, SuperSport or Gavin really is a person that if you are a hardworking individual, you will have so much longevity, you know, within the squad.
He definitely trusts them as well.
I agree. So that was also nice to see. We will obviously talk about the controversy or lack of a better word when it comes to the officiating. But to be honest with you, it was going to be anyone's game.
Definitely agree with that, Tippy.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to sing the same chorus when it comes to officiating in this country?
It's exhausting. And I'm going to say it's exhausting because you would remember that before the end of last season, sorry, Super Sub, you know, there was a statement that came out, and I believe it was from the Association of the Officiators or the referees, to say that they are going to be going on some boot camp. I could, please correct me if I'm wrong.
Didn't they have
in,
one
in
a couple
order,
of weeks?
That's
have,
what I'm they, saying. They always that was what's meant to happen, right? So for this to happen so early in the season, the very first match, to be precise, is disheartening. Super Sub.
So here's my take on the whole thing is that to answer Len first, we're going to have to talk about it until change happens. We are the mouthpiece of other people out there. And then these things, we have to talk about it until change happens.
What change?
Change that that we need in football. Technology is there to assist. We can utilize technology. We saw how technology came through for us in AFCON. We saw how impressive it was. So it's something that, in as much as there are other issues with technology, but we can't not implement technology by thinking that it's not going to work because other places, they're not interpreting it right.
So
I'm saying that, yes, we have to keep talking about these things. And my issue is that, as football fans, we need to distinct between banter and real issues that we have in football. Because I feel like bad officiating is now sort of like made to be synonymous with one team. There's a beneficiary, and that's not right.
I benefit.
You know, we need to be consistent so that even if my team, I feel like it has benefited unduly, it's something that we need to voice out, you know, for the betterment of our game, in my view.
Can I say this? Referee Abongile Thomas is the only South African selected to officiate at the 2023 African Nations Cup, the CHAN finals in Algeria. The 31-year-old Abongile Thomas' career has been on an upward trajectory. So for a person with such that is held in such high regard to be making the errors that he made, what do we say about this professional? Look, we can talk about, you know, obviously the organization that's responsible for referees, but what do we say to the man?
Okay,
who was,
before let's play the ball first before we get to the man. You spoke about technology, Super Sub.
Yeah,
that technology is expensive.
We've got 900 million, bro.
Wait. You don't just spend it all at once.
I'm just saying.
Wait. Let me finish. The chairman came out last week and said he was asked about VAR. He explained that for VAR to be implemented, one, the same referees that we are blasting week in, week out have to be trained.
Yeah.
And it's not suffers. I mean, sorry, it's not the PSL's job to do that.
It's SAFA's responsibility.
It's SAFA's job, number one. Number two, the technology to be able to run VAR, there were conversations that were had with MultiChoice. Now, with things having gone the way they've gone, Nkari, the people in Randburg have decided, like, yeah, we're only just going to concentrate on broadcasting matches. Everything else, we're not going to be involved.
It has to wait until after the Canal Plus, whatever deal.
Right? So, what do we do?
And PSL can't do anything right now.
Unfortunately,
Hands are tied.
Hence, I say we are going to keep singing the same chorus. If this coming weekend, a team from Klerkop or Skukune or Cape Town also gets robbed by a referee, are we going to come back to the show next week and say the same thing?
Let's get into the comments quickly.
Thank you.
Transparent saying we're behind. Where's goal line technology? It's
another issue.
That's one of the contentious points, because that's normally a stadium cost or stadium expense. And that means all of the stadiums that qualify for these competitions must be fitted out with goal line technology. It'll become a regulation that every stadium will need this kitted out. So that would be a cost issue, I believe. Then Sponello Mkunu saying Pirates had a 12th man on the pitch. Unfortunately, Hunt's kids didn't stand a chance. Before we get back to officiating, super sub, electric atmosphere, hey?
It was electric. You know, there's something about, and I know people have been deprived football for a while now. And obviously when there's a game of this magnitude, people are going to go out in their numbers. But I have been in Orlando for the first game of the season. I've never seen anything like this. I'm saying this because that stadium, Marco, was buzzing. The atmosphere from when you park outside, getting into the stadium, there is some level of positivity within the Orlando Pirates fans. It's almost looked like they believe so much that this is their season.
How does it feel being an Orlando Pirates supporter, being at the stadium, seeing the poor officiating and possibly leaving the stadium knowing that you had an unfair advantage? What do you do? How do you feel?
That's what I'm saying, that in as much as I'm a Pirates fan, I also don't want to enjoy the win knowing
so
that it's marred with controversy. Mm. You want to leave the stadium knowing that my team has done well and they've won fair and square. But unfortunately, Abungile Tom is a human being. He's going to make those errors. And the reason why we've got technology is to try and alleviate those errors, you know, and it makes the game better. We've seen it in AFCON. I'm making that example again. We've seen it in AFCON. It was interpreted beautifully, you
guys,
know?
Is there something else that we're missing here? And is it really an error? Is it always an error?
Well, I'll come back to the comments here quickly for that. Amos Fani saying, up the Bucks, they're not the first team to benefit from Mr. Referee. Sponilo Mkunu again saying Abungile is a top official, but it seems like he has an uncomfortable soft spot for a certain team. He was also terrible in last year's MTN 8 final,
yes.
He says.
Against Sundowns. It was a 3-1 win. Yep.
And I think the one thing.
Yes. So he officiated during the MTN 8 final, Orlando Pirates and Mamelodi Sundowns. Orlando Pirates won 3-1 in penalty shootout.
Oh, in penalties. Because
yes.
I know the game ended as a draw.
Yes.
And I think that an atmosphere, this won't be the first place that an atmosphere has impacted a referee's decision making. We find home teams have benefited almost everywhere in the world in the past from a refereeing decision or two. So that massive atmosphere could have had an impact as well. And then there's one comment that I'm picking out here that I think is
but are we
big.
Not expecting him? The reason he's chosen for these big matches is because, you know, I've just mentioned how he was able to officiate big matches continentally. So expecting him to sort of have some type of composure to make decisions that are objective, correct?
Yeah, I mean,
happens.
You can't say that he shouldn't have been positioned for
he's
that
a good
game.
Ref. For him to be where he is a good ref. And also the selection panel for AFCON, it's also it's different. It's people that don't even know him. It's
and
people
it's
that
stringent.
Have seen how he officiated in order for them to pick him.
Okay, let me paint a picture or two pictures. The first one is according to, and I think this was when the technology was introduced, because somebody asked about goal line technology earlier on. About, I'd say 5, 6, 7 years ago, the numbers could be off. The cost to install GLT
goal line
per
technology
stadium, yes, per stadium was around 4.5 million South African rands.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a big cost for that.
And you still need roughly about 3,800 in US. I just don't know what the conversion would be. Multiplied by 1850, and then you'll give me
how much
a rough
is it? 3,000 what?
3,600 multiplied by 18.48.
Mm-hmm. Continue.
How much is that?
Sorry, now. It's 194,800.
Per game.
Okay.
So there's the 4 million of the installation cost.
Plus the license fee per game.
Are you saying?
Minus the license. So there's the installation, there's licensing.
It's very expensive. Goal line technology.
Nobody is the cost here is we're not saying it's cheap.
Mm.
But I was saying that because it's expensive, we cannot have it.
I think this takes us to the comments.
Henry Ford wouldn't have made Ford if that was the mentality.
I agree, but I think given the circumstances, we know where the point of contention here is the officiating. And just because we hypothetically have this money, you know, to install these this goal line technology, it does not then just automatically fix that we still have an issue with officiating. So my thing is this: as much as ideally would like to have this technology, but we still need to be fixing this elephant.
Yeah, but remember, Tepi, there are certain instances where a referee has made an error and the technology comes into play. Right now, we don't even have that.
I agree, but sometimes it's the other way around, because you've seen where the technology would come and say, this is what the decision is, but they would overturn it. So,
but the technology can always overturn where the referee makes a mistake.
I agree.
We don't have that.
I agree, my friend. But remember that at the end of the day, who is more correct? The person, the referee will still have the final say in what happens, correct?
Fair point. But also it's down to, again...
So it's the officiating.
In assisting.
Not necessarily. This is the reality. There's always going to be human error, even in interpreting. But we are just saying that if there are other things to help us get rid of those or sort of like help us in dealing with those human errors, why can't we look in that direction?
I agree, but we are not able to. We don't have the capacity. So what do? We need to focus on what we can change, and that's officiating or improve.
Right. So
in terms of train, like train refs.
That's it.
But
we don't
again,
have the money.
You can train the refs, but if...
You want to tell me that Abongile Tom is not trained enough?
Wait, Super Sub. If... Then you and her, because rules are, it's almost like in rugby. Rugby rules and the change of them all the time leave so much gray area that one referee will interpret it differently from another one.
I think that I'm going to say this now because I've spoken to somebody who I won't mention who's involved in the training and regulation of referees that overlooks decisions that go on a weekend. And his position on this, as important as his job is within SAFA, he's one of the lead technical trainers and evaluators of refereeing in South Africa. Lead. Part-time job. There's not enough funding going into refereeing in South Africa. Transparent in the comments again says refs are hungry, they collect. I'm not going to necessarily agree
but
it's a possibility, and the way that you stop that from happening is that referees need to be paid adequately. And also, is there a single full-time referee in South African football?
No, they're all part-time.
South African football.
What was Ian McLeod? Was he a teacher or a cop?
Almost all of them are teachers and cops.
Yeah,
that's
it. But Michael, I feel like we're making excuses for the powers that be. There's enough money in this country.
It's not just channeled
in the right places.
So this is what I'm saying.
Don't even get me started with the legacy fund.
So we were making excuses for the technology, and I think there's an element of that with the technology. That is very expensive. But there is enough money to pay referees adequately, to have referees full-time on the books, have technical refereeing departments and training divisions full-time on the books, so that they can be committed to the sport that they invigilate.
So let me two things I wanted to mention. I just want to start with the closer one of the legacy fund. For the past couple of years, SAFA's financials, did they record any profits?
I don't know.
They're not balancing.
All right. So clearly the people who are in charge of referees themselves.
Oh, they have a new CFO. You saw? They announced a new CFO, SAFA. He was an ex-CEO. Yes. I'll tell you now.
Okay. Money's too tough to mention that side. Or it's too hard. How does the song go? Is it tough or hard?
Money's too tight to mention.
Or tight. Yes, there we go. That's one.
Yep.
Two, which is what I'm not aware of. I just know they do it in the UK, or in the Premier League rather. As a referee, all right? And as referees, before the season starts and you are appointed, whatever, questionnaires, or you get asked in an interview, which team in this league do you affiliate with, or do you have some level of support with, etc., etc., etc.? If Michael Oliver grew up supporting Arsenal and is an Arsenal supporter, he will highly, there's almost a snowflake's chance in hell that he will officiate an Arsenal match. I just don't know if that is done in this country.
Well, there's not enough funding to make sure that the referees are... You're a fan of Blackpool and you can be a full-time referee and you can get paid. And then that way you officiate all the Premier League games without an issue because Blackpool's not there. And you... I think that's pretty common in refereeing to disclose who you support. But I don't, if there's not enough referees on the books, enough full-time referees on the books, how do you determine that? One of the comments in here, I forgot who it was.
Oh, yes,
by
the
way,
the new CFO is Advocate Tebogo Motlanthe. He will be occupying the CM executive officer. Oh. Yes, he resigned a year ago, but now he's CFO, yes.
Okay, so the new CEO from last year at SAFA is Lydia Monyepal.
Yes.
Who's a former Banyana Banyana player, played basketball for South Africa as well. This is a woman who's passionate about sport and has degrees in accounting, etc. She's not been there very long. But my thoughts immediately go to how do we not have more former players involved in the setup at SAFA? And I think that, I don't know, I talk about Danny Yordan too much on the show already. So
whatever happened to Lucas?
He's there.
There's no elections yet. We have to wait for elections.
When do they take place?
2 years, 3 years from now, something like that.
3 years from now, because the last ones were in 2022.
There's time.
Asriya couldn't...
Yes.
Yeah.
So here's the thing about former footballers and being involved in our sport.
And perhaps there should be some forceful legislation as to who votes in those elections.
Mm-hmm. You see, that is a bit tricky.
It's all political. They've taken a political frame to football. You understand? So you need to be nominated by the branches and all
rally.
Of that.
But is that not how... Like, it's a trickle down of that's how FIFA works. You need to be dominated by the FAs and, the associations or
the regional
confederations, let me put it that way.
And I think that's when brown envelopes play a big part.
Yeah, and
that's it.
FIFA is a
brown envelope.
Yeah. Yes, so that's how elections work. And unfortunately, that's how the election of a SAFA president also works. It's regions around. Vote. So if you grease enough hands, you're going to slide right in there.
Do you think the envelopes at FIFA have a logo and they embossed? They must be really nice envelopes. Okay, so there was another fixture as we move on from this. But yes, just a closing thought on that. Something must be done. And it would be great to see more former players who achieved great things in football. Although it didn't work out so great in Cameroon, but we'll skid right over that.
Oh, no, darling. Oh, no, honey.
But also,
what makes you think that just because a person's an ex-footballer, they have the capacity to...
I think it helps with building... It's football.
Okay.
If you have a better understanding of football, having been a player, having that was your career, I think that it helps the game, having someone who's got knowledge of the game, especially if they have experience in countries that are more developed in their football.
You'll have a better vision.
Yeah.
Like, let me ask, you've got a place like, say, in George's Park, right? One of the top headquarters of football.
Sports facilities
in the world, right? The English FA is not run by former players.
Yeah, but look, they've got a lot of money. And perhaps they also introduced in the 90s, must remember, there was so much corruption in English football that the FA was created in the 90s by the clubs as a breakaway from the previous federation. So corruption kills, that's for sure. That's a point to take
in. Because I don't think, in South Africa, our leadership problem, it's solely based on lack of vision. I think it's a matter of money get swindled in the wrong direction.
Yeah, that's an issue.
But also because
we agree on that.
Again,
I think they've got great ideas for football, but they're also greedy.
The other thing as well is, unfortunately, an organization like SAFA is only accountable in the bigger scheme of things to CAF and FIFA. You can't have the Department of Sports going there to Mabambe. It's not going to happen.
Gaetan McKenzie not going to come in there.
You know, FIFA are going to ban us. We know what happened to Zimbabwe. They tried to clean and FIFA was like, you don't do this. So the corrupt, and I'm not saying SAFA is corrupt,
I'm just talking about World Football Association.
Yeah. Yes. We're just using SAFA as a name that is closer to home.
Say it with your
chest. Maybe we need to put a disclaimer. Yes. This is not about SAFA. Yes. This is about Football Administration.
Wow, you guys.
The Football Association. Yes. Yeah, let's just say the Football Association. The Football Association is accountable to FIFA. FIFA, which is corrupt, of course, are going to work with the Football Association. And the Football Association probably sees and says, no, man, can't you, this is how things are done. Even us, we want to do it like that.
Yeah.
And it's...
And so on.
Monkey see, monkey do. Your child sees as
a
parent.
Are you calling them monkeys? It's a joke. Whatever.
Okay. let's move on. There was another quarterfinal MTN8 fixture this weekend.
You even forgot about that. Stanley's well done.
I didn't forget.
What a game. I actually watched that game, you know. And
oh, you did?
Yeah, I did. And I mean, Stanley's was 1-0 down and they came back to win that game 3-1. And keeping, I think one thing that we have to commend Stanley's for, it's managing to keep away the vultures from their...
Getting their young
from
talent,
their talent. Because the likes of Titus is still there.
They're young.
Yes, Reynas is still there. And you could see the importance of those players in that team, you know. And I think Stelis this season are still going to be a force. And big ups to them. What a game. They came back from 1-0 down and they went on to win the game.
I think that first goal was against the run of play anyway. Mm. I think that Stelis were dominant. They conceded off against the run of play.
Yeah.
They did concede more opportunities in the game. I think once again, first game of the season, everyone looked a bit rusty. There were opportunities missed for both sides.
But that was not the only rusty thing because I feel like the match happened, but the conversation was around the pitch. I'm not sure what the pitch was like, you guys.
It was awful.
Was it horrendous?
The pitch looked awful. There's been a lot of rain in the cave. There's been a lot of rain.
What was it like, you guys?
No, it was muddy. It was bumpy. It was awful. The pitch
because
was
I saw
terrible.
The coach of TS complain.
Yeah,
a lot.
Yeah, rightfully so. I mean, the pitch
rightfully
was
so. But I think also he needs to, and I'm not saying he needs to be stopped, right? But I feel like there's a level of disrespect. You can still put your point across and be heard and respect. You know, we're still a professional football league, and he has to respect that. There's a term for it. It's not coming. There's a way of addressing issues, man. There's a term I'm looking for, but it's not coming. But I just feel like
he's not tactful.
No, not that, man. There's decorum.
Chris.
Ah, you know what?
Saka
education anyway.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is, I feel like he went to town with it, but unnecessarily so. He could have made a point. And then his point would have been heard. But now his point get lost in the fact that it sounds like it's a rant.
But maybe he's frustrated. Guys, did you hear? So I read this. They say that TS Galaxy will not be cleared by FIFA after a transfer ban, a ban for the next three windows was imposed on them for owing salaries of 1.8 million to Ivorian player Bernard Yao Kosi. They come to this game without their players as they're not allowed to register them yet. The visitors only had 5 players on the bench compared to Staley's 9. Did you know that?
Transfer bans are a trend.
Did you hear? Did you know?
That's about the transfer bans.
TS has a ban.
Yeah, I'm aware
of
that.
I do not know about it.
Even Real M still has a ban, eh?
Yes.
Yeah, they haven't been able to overturn them.
I think Richards Bay is out of it.
I'm not sure about Richards Bay.
Richards Bay had it. There were quite a number of teams in the league.
Because of financial misdealings.
1.8 million.
Not paying salaries.
Not paying salaries. And, and
what about Swallows?
No. They also got over this. Super
Who's that?
Some team that used to exist. You mentioned something with regards to Stellies and about them being able to keep their players. One thing that I picked up, and obviously numbers get thrown around and we don't know if it's the right numbers or not.
Yeah.
Whoever was in charge of the transfers at Stelis did not mince their numbers when they evaluated the players.
Okay.
So if you wanted Reynas, they'd tell you straight up like, okay, cool, 35. Bah.
Which is good to keep the vultures away. Because
they
vultures,
don't even need the money,
vultures
do they?
Also want easy meals, right? You know, so it's good for them. And that's what I'm saying. Big ups to them for doing their business the way they did, you know. Because if it's worth that much, then it, well, he's worth that much. We could see what he has done that season, the previous season. But for them to be able to say, this is what we're going to stick to and not get carried away with some zeros, that's beautiful.
Who's responsible for maintaining the pitch? It's not the PSL, right?
No, it's
the stadium manager.
Stadium management.
Yeah, well, but they hosted
a lot of team Stelis, list stadium from stadium management.
Stelis is a rugby town.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that pitch probably got battered by Varsity Cup.
Yes, they say that there was the Under-20 World Cup, which was played between the 29th of June until the 19th of July.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
So there was a total of like 9 matches that were played on that pitch.
Because it's also difficult. Now I'm coming back to your point, Len, that it's so difficult to keep these stadiums in...
tip-top shape.
In top shape because it requires money. So what stadium management do is include other sporting codes there, events as well. I mean, I looked at the other side of Orlando Stadium. It also was not looking great.
Oh, yeah, by the goals, ne?
By the goals, because it's probably where
stage
was erected when they had the rallies. Mm.
The other thing with that...
I wouldn't want to be a groundsman.
Oh, and for the record, stadium management has a certain number of stadiums within the scope of the country. So it's FNB, Dobsonville,
and
Orlando Stadium. I think there's one more. I just don't remember. And other stadiums are pretty
municipalities.
But there is, if it's a Loftus or a Cape Town stadium, for instance, which is leased to the Stormers or Cape Town City or whichever, the maintenance of that stadium is primarily after the people that lease that stadium to use it.
Okay. Makes sense.
So if it's a Stanley Stadium and it's your backyard, where the Tia really say not even cows were gonna be able to play there.
Bro,
that's what I mean. Like,
bro.
Anyway, where cows can't even play.
Bro.
Again, he's what citizen is he?
But his cows managed to play.
Is he European?
Yeah. Well, they didn't come alright. So what I'm saying is, it's not easy, it's not cheap. That's why
I suppose
you get some municipalities having deals with like a Kaizer Chiefs to have 3 home stadiums, for instance.
Yeah.
So that football is hardly ever played. Go, what's the black and white stadium?
In Mpumalanga.
In Mbombela.
Yeah.
But you know, if you've got 3 Kaizer Chiefs games there this season, at least the economy around can buzz. And all the municipality has to do is be like, okay, cool. We'll rock you for accommodation and all the logistics, whatever. Which is why Durban most likely wins every bid to host the final.
Yeah, because they throw in money.
They throw in money at the situation. Yeah. And that money helps them. Lusa Pongos is saying he's German. So maybe Germans just don't have... Germans just say things the way they...
Who's German?
Siad Dramovic.
Siad can't be German.
He's not German.
Is he not German?
He's like he's like
is he Scandinavian? He's Scandinavian.
Something like that. Yeah, I don't think he's German.
Probably Serbian.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, he's not
who
German.
Who was that Siad who played for Arsenal?
Kolasinac.
He was from?
Kolasinac. Sounds
Kolasinac was...
We took him
came from German League.
Yeah, we took him from Stuttgart.
I'll try to remember, but yeah, probably Serbian. Or we could
but be. I know one team that doesn't compromise, Len, with their home games.
It's Orlando Pirates, yes.
they don't play around.
No, they play all their games at Orlando. He's Bosnian. Sia Dramovic, that's it.
That's Scandinavia, right, is. Marco?
Yeah.
Yes.
No, Scandinavia is Sweden, Finland,
up
Norway.
There, yeah, it's up there. There.
But isn't Bosnia Eastern Europe?
Eastern Bloc, yeah.
Yes, it's in the East, yes. Okay. So perhaps it's how they express themselves that side. And do you know sometimes, like
but
for
I understand
me,
the
when you win,
it
doesn't
of,
speak like that.
I understand the confusion of, I mean, it says here that the place of birth for this guy is West Germany.
Oh, okay.
His nationality is Bosnian. So what I'm just trying to say is perhaps
Shidima.
He
thinks,
yeah, it's giving chichi.
Perhaps, like, I'd make an example, for instance, like me, right?
You were born in...
Well, are you also...
No, when I speak... I'm Soto.
In the 70s, that's when that's where he was born.
I'm Soto, right?
70s, Marco, you are a nice person.
I'm Soto. Yes, friend.
Yeah, I'm Soto. But for me to speak Soto, I have to think in English first and then translate in my head.
You it just happened now with me. I had to speak my language and translate to English and it couldn't come. Hey, it's
so
tough.
Maybe that's how Sia Adramovic is. He thinks in Bosnian
and then translates directly
to English.
Yeah, I suppose it's not a big deal. I just like, you know what, sometimes when you go out there and have that, I think for a lack of a better word, condescending tone.
Is that the word you were looking for?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
But that was a nice word as well.
You know, you tend to, your point tend to be missed because of that. You know what I mean?
I agree. Great
point.
Okay. I think we've strayed away from Steli's. They're going to butter up the league a little bit. Top three contender. I saw it in the comments here. I mean, you're not going to take that away from them, right?
Yeah, they might even make top two.
Yeah.
They were very close to top two.
Lusapho Ngozi saying Steli's is growing into a top three side. Last season, top three side.
Facts.
We could see consistency and they could be a top three side.
And for outside of... From knockout football perspective, outside of Orlando Pirates domestically, they were the second best team.
They were the second most successful team in cup competition last season. Am I correct? Because it was the Black Label knockouts.
They won.
They won that. Yeah. They were in the final of the...
No, they were semifinals of the Nedbank.
They were in the semifinals of the Nedbank. They're now in the semifinals of the MTN 8. And they were in the final of the Carling Knockout Cup. But that was of the Carling... Cup,
yeah,
winning the knockout cup.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, surely second best set of results there in cup competition last season, just after Orlando Pirates, who are the kings of cup competition. They have won three of the last four cup. MTN eights.
Mm-hmm.
They're the first team to ever do it in that level of regularity. The last team to do it at any level of regularity was Kaizer Chiefs in the late 90s, early 2000s. So Orlando Pirates really showing their strength in cup competition. And as a Pirates fan, you're going to be desperate to see them translate that into some sort of league consistency, right?
Yeah.
Or on the African continent.
I'm excited to see what Steli's is going to do in continental football. They're doing Confed. So I want to see how they're going to be able to manage domestic cups, the DS3, Betway Premiership,
what?
As well as going into Confed. That's going to be a test for them.
And Africa is not for the weak, eh?
But Steve Bock has got experience.
Yeah, we'll see.
No, look, he's got the players, he's got the know-how.
It's just
they can charter. Let's put it that way.
If they've got the budgets to charter, then that helps a lot. We've spoken about this.
They can charter. We are drinking enough wine.
And Savan.
And many other things that we use every day in our homes.
And stock.
Everything in our homes.
No, yeah.
Rama, friend.
Go check.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That's okay. Everything in the house, including Handy Andy.
But would you say, though, that the investment is... Because, you know, Buddy Buddy invests in the club. But do you think that the other one is as invested in the club as he is in other things?
He doesn't have to show you that he's invested.
I don't know. Didn't he lose a lot of money in Steinhoff shares or something as well?
What's Steinhoff? What are you talking about?
Good point. There's no such thing anymore.
Yeah. So I'm just, for me, like, it's a case of, then said club would probably be playing at the Cape Town Stadium. Or the said stadium would probably be renovated and
but you
be
know
much
that
bigger.
You know, rich people make a noise and wealth is very, very silent.
So are you saying said person's friend?
We don't make a noise, my friend. We don't make a noise with such things. That's what I'm saying.
But
you will see.
I just think Kef is actually going to show the pedigree. Mm-hmm. It's not easy going there. The minute you are there and the further you
progress
in the competition, the more you suffer domestically.
Unless,
it's not even about the chartering, unless if you've got a bloated squad. And I think one thing that Sundowns did well, and that's why they were able to maneuver to as far as they got to, is because they had a thick enough squad.
Yeah, you need players to compete.
Everything adds up. It's that and also chattering.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to push the chattering thing, ne?
My friend.
That Gavin, you sound like Gavinant.
Gavinant said then, told us, yeah. why would you not take it from the horse's mouth?
Hey, he went further with Kaizer Chiefs when he had the opportunity to charter. He struggled with SuperSport because of that same reason.
Charter.
You get what I'm saying?
Does Kaizer Chiefs charter?
I won't argue with him. Kaizer Chiefs had the opportunity to charter. That's what he was saying to us.
Yeah, he did say it was not as difficult.
It wasn't in the same extent that SuperSport United had when they competed on the continent. Mm. Before we move on to comings and goings within the Betway Premiership, MTN 8 picks. Your picks on Betway this weekend. You're playing again. You're putting money again. Back on the app again. Len Moleko, Skukune United, Cape Town City.
Cape Town City. Because Skukune's got problems.
There's enough, like, they've got new players there.
No, even outside the new players, there's word now that things are not going well with, is it Hibala?
Okay. I heard that they want to bring the new coach back.
Yes.
That just landed.
Yes.
We're having another Dylan Kerr situation here.
Yes.
My goodness.
Now I heard that someone is coming back to the team. I actually read about it, guys. It's everywhere that Coach Siema is going back to Skukune. That's what I read.
What I read is the German, again, perhaps it could be a German thing. Apparently, the way...
How is this a German thing?
Wait. Apparently, the way Hibala carries himself, there's a level of disrespect that he has.
German people are just that way. They have a certain
Germans
demeanor.
Germans are arrogant.
I don't call it arrogance. They are
I've worked with them.
Stringent.
I know them.
And
at the bakery.
At the bakery, bro.
They supply you with wheat and barley.
Well, and the machinery to make with.
The machinery to make with. That's the supply. The
which
German
is well
suppliers.
Oiled.
Yes. Okay. You know? So
this is so tiring.
With that happening, I mean, there's a plethora of unemployed coaches that
they will dance, man.
That's the easiest one. Mm. There's Dylan Kerr. You can be like, hey, before you leave the country, please come here.
Is your plane booked?
Yeah, but another coach, is Vusimuzi lost his job as well, correct?
Well, it's...
Vusimuzi Vilakazi.
Yeah, it's...
They parted ways. But...
You know what I mean?
He's another dance.
It was an amicable parting.
He's another dance in the making, Glenn. That man left Golden Arrows, Chippa United, back to Richards Bay. In a space of a season.
But
come on, man.
But in all those other jobs, it's also not a case of, I don't want to be co-coach, I don't want to be assistant, I want to be the head coach.
Okay. I said we're going to do the picks before the comings and goings. We've moved on to the comings and goings.
Anyway,
Cape Town City, Tepi, darling. Cape Town City,
Skukune. Cape Town City.
Super sub?
Cape Town City.
Overs, unders, nothing like that. Just the straight win. Mm. No win or draw.
Clean.
Cape Town City win. That was on my picks on my bet slip. That's already gone because Pirates decided they needed extra time to go through on that one. Mamelodi Sundowns versus Polokwane City.
Obvious.
What's obvious?
I want Mamelodi Sundowns to win.
Because you want to beat them in the final.
They're easier for us to beat in the final.
But a lightning doesn't strike three times in one place.
I did with Sundowns.
Okay.
Three times.
It was twice, wasn't it?
Three times, my friend. Go check.
Well, you'll have your wish because they're going to win this weekend.
Semi-finals, MTN 8.
No, I can't. Places are not the same. Semi-final is not a final.
It is. Two-leg. You've got two opportunities to do something. And then you couldn't do anything.
You're really driving this narrative, but it's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. But I've got stats to back it up. They won against Mamelodi Sundowns in the final of Nedbank Cup. That is the latest. We won in the final of MTN 8. And then we knocked them out
Bolas,
on the semis
Bolas,
of the
you know
MTN
what?
8.
Bolas, you can't see Super Sub, but it doesn't help that Super Sub is wearing an Orlando Pirates jersey and Len Moleko is wearing a Mamelodi Sundowns jersey.
It's war. It was a coincidence, this.
I'm going Mamelodi Sundowns and 2.5 over. There's been a lot of goals.
Yeah.
Both fixtures were 3-1 in the previous round of games. I think that Sundowns will win this and there will be goals in it.
Goals, yes. But remember, a lot of the teams are still rusty.
But a 2-1 is...
So what was the purpose of the preseason, Tontoni, if they're still rusty?
I think the preseason's been a bit short for all of them. This is like almost still part of preseason. It's too early to come back.
Preseason, you know what preseason is?
No, I disagree with you, Marco.
I'm just asking.
It's the fifth. Last year, the league even started early. EPL started early, if you remember.
But last season was a longer season because of AFCON again. So it was a lot more games in the legs of a lot of players.
There's just a lot of games that the players are playing.
Yeah.
But we're starting at the right time.
I think it could have been a week later.
Well, that's the league that starts. MTN 8, like I said, the teams are still rusty. There's not a lot that you can read from.
But at least everyone's rusty.
Yeah, beating an under-16 Sevilla team or playing against an undercooked Al-Hilal. You can't read too much into those things.
I'm glad you saved it there at the end.
I'd rather have that than losing to 4-0 to other teams in preseason.
I don't want to do this.
What are you talking about?
I'm done.
It depends on where you look at it.
Yo, is it a car? Is it a plane?
Okay. Tepi, darling, where do you get your information, by the way? Last week, you're talking about changing currents in Richards Bay, and you're talking about this one and that one. How do you know?
What, friend? Like,
no one knew Skakune was going to change managers, and now it's all the rumors. No one knew Richards Bay was having changes, and now it's all the rumors.
Guys, I have reliable sources, okay?
Seppi.
Some have scorpions. Are yours called crabs?
Are they itchy also? Shut up.
Yo.
Let's move on.
It's a family show, guys, please.
Wow, Len.
So.
What did I do?
In terms of, besides the teams that are banned from making transfers, who's short? Who? We saw Chiefs have gone into the market. Who's short?
Was a good signing for them. Mm. Yep.
Is he going to dolly there? Is he going to billiard there?
He's making history there in Zoom. That's so nice of him.
There's also congratulations that curse. To
him. Yeah, but this is a very valid question, Seppi.
Mm.
Is he going to Mpela there?
There's a curse that happens with people crossing the Yaske.
Yeah. But we've seen it.
And you're going south, not going north.
Yeah.
It's not sunny there.
We can even take it back to the other guys. The short guy. Well, he tried Tori Elba.
Yeah, he did.
He did.
We could argue. Josta also tried.
Mm-hmm. Josta is a legend. Josta, I think.
Is he, though?
Out of all the.
The Yaske crossers.
Yeah, I think he's the longest that stayed at Chiefs.
Okay. Mm. But is he a legend though?
But he
is a legend of the game.
We had this discussion last week.
Okay, shut up.
He's definitely the legend of the game.
But Josta was blocked from moving to Europe.
Was he?
Was he? What?
He hinted at it.
Did he?
So when he went to Europe, I think it was Denmark, if I'm not mistaken.
He did go overseas.
He played in Denmark.
Did he move from Vets to Denmark or from Sundowns to Denmark?
Vets, Denmark, then Denmark back to Sundowns.
Let's see.
And then Sundowns Chiefs.
And then Sundowns
Chiefs. Then the dropping happened at Vets because that's where he was moving to Denmark.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay. Moving on. So any other changes we're seeing, Tepi,
Did we finish about the curse? We're done with the curse.
The curse of crossing the Yaske.
Yes.
Yeah, we've mentioned the bulk of them that. Oh wait, and you can actually see.
Oh yeah, it was Verts, AGF, My Sundowns, Kalachis, Morocco Swallows.
Yes, Super Sub and Tepi and Marco. You can actually see the curse and how it works. It's a spell that probably needs to be reversed.
Okay.
Because the ones that move from that side to that side are cool.
They fly.
Brian did well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who else moved from that side to that side that springs to mind? Mm. And there's not been many.
There hasn't been many.
What about the cheese boy? Oh, no, it was the other one.
It was cheese boy was the other
one. Sorry.
Brian Valoy is the one. Yeah, he's just
that's the one that comes to mind. The bowlers can tell us in the comments.
It's very seldom that it happens.
Which of the... Yeah, which players moved from
Jewel Fire? Where did he start? Did he die?
You see those ones in the 80s don't count, man. There, because it was horse trading there.
Sifa song.
Yeah, it was horse trading there.
Paulus, let us know if anything else comes to mind on that.
And Linda Buthelezi as well. Where did he start? I can't remember.
I think he started at Chiefs to go to Sundowns.
Okay.
Okay.
We were talking about movements. You asked us about other movements.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. First of all, do we know what's coming? Is there anything you can say, Tippy? You got scoops. Are you allowed to say something?
Yeah, I know, friend. I'm just saying.
Next week. Okay, we'll know next week.
No, I know for a fact that something right now, it was meant to happen already, but it's going to only be announced by the weekend.
Okay, where are we watching?
In the Premiership, you'll see. Like, yeah, you'll be like, oh, what?
Where,
but it's going to happen.
Where are we watching?
I can't say, friend. I can't. But Super something Sam, amazing is going to happen. Yeah,
I'm completing.
With the coaches.
The bowlers are actually helping with our cross Yaski starting 11. We forgot George Lebese and George Malone.
The more recent one. I'm even going back to your Linda Buteles. I'm forgetting about the most recent ones. Oh man!
So it's genuinely just not a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, no, George went to. Oh no, those are the ones that
they went from. They went up.
Yeah, they
didn't come down.
They went south to north.
Yes,
they are the ones that we can add with. The ones that really did not do well when they crossed the Yaski to go north.
Yes.
Versus the ones that go south. I almost confused myself.
The other side, yes.
Okay.
Moyo, congratulations to him. He's going there somewhere. And congratulations to Cape Town City because they're making a nice buck. About 20 million.
Algeria, yeah. Kanyisomayo.
Mayo, yes.
Kanyisomayo, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The son of?
Of
who? Yo, the legend. The man that played as a striker and have a stellar career and went to be a defender and... did well.
Yeah. So
Patrick Mayo.
Yeah, big ups to him. So yeah, that's the movement.
You know what I like about being under Cape Town City? Komatis has done wonders for people's careers. Komatis is the chairman of, or the owner, or the founder of Cape Town City, correct? That's when they split again. It was Spurs.
Or the buyer of Cape Town.
Or the buyer.
City.
Remember there was
no,
a whole
he's
thing.
He's a chairman.
He is, right?
Chairman,
yes. He's done wonders for people's careers with Komatis. Am I wrong?
Yeah, he's a very level-headed...
He's a businessman.
You know?
Yeah, I like that about him.
You'd put him along the likes of Stan Matthews in terms of managing and running the club.
Yeah.
The likes of the chairman of Orlando Pirates,
of
Dr.
Course.
Evan Corsa. The likes of Tlhopi Motsepe. He's still at the helm, as far as I know.
Who else?
Yeah.
Manto.
Memato.
Yes.
Golden Arrows has been very consistent for some time.
Velile. What's his name?
Who?
The chairman for Golden Arrows?
I just know the owner.
What's his name?
I forgot the name of the chairman. And AmaZulu as well, well run.
Yeah.
So yeah, quite a number of clubs in the Betway Premiership that are looked after very well.
Yeah.
Okay, so in terms of players leaving for pastures anew, we've saw...
Why am I confusing myself? Mm-hmm.
Chandre Campbell going to Belgium. We now see Mayo going to Algeria. Sundowns must be feeling better and better that they've still got Mudao, they've still got Mokwena. Those players were attracting interest all over Europe.
Would that then be the same
case? It helps
case
when you
of,
pay well, eh?
I'm still in Bosch.
There's also that.
When you pay well, you can shake off the vultures.
Hence the other team.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And also it's a case of, I mean, if sometimes this is probably what we don't look at. And I think I've mentioned this is in one of the previous pods. If I'm getting paid half a bar a month.
Yeah.
I'm playing for Sundowns.
You're going to win things.
I'm going to win things and there's winning bonuses.
I was about to say that there's insane bonuses.
Yes, right. Because if you win 70 million, you share it amongst
players.
So that it's even difficult for European clubs to improve on those offers.
No, Sundance guys, you can't mess around with Sundance.
And then Brighton come and they say, no, with what we're going to pay you, it's going to be equivalent of 300,000 South African rands. Which offer are you going to go with?
And
unless you want to play in the Premier League or something. But even still, it's hard for those clubs to take these players still because South Africa's position in the FIFA rankings.
Oh, well, there's that as well.
I think Mokwena, one of his, Taboho Mokwena and Mudao, their age is against them in terms of the visa application.
Even though they're still young enough, talent.
Yes.
What talent? There's a term for
exceptional
talent,
whatever. So where you can get a visa to play in the league in England, at a younger age when you've played a certain number of games for the senior national team at a certain level as well. But so AFCON helped. The Bafana's improved
World Cup qualifications,
improved FIFA rankings has helped.
Performances. Is the AFCON one? It's a CAF one that is not moving. We are hell bent on that number 10, eh?
Yeah, we need to beat the guys above us.
Mm. Mm. So there's a few of those things. And then also
true.
A player like Teboho Mokoena, if he wants to play in England, maybe they might say to him, you have to come sign for Brighton and then go on loan elsewhere in Europe to get your work permit for a season and then come back, which is what happened with Percy Tau.
Yeah.
When he went to Brighton, he had to go to Belgium for a season for his work visa to be approved. Then he played 2-3 fixtures for Brighton. Something like that.
And then it didn't work out.
And then it didn't work out. And
no, Lisandro Trossard happened.
Yeah. So anyway.
But
Sundowns feeling good to still have those players, of course.
Yeah, no, look, man. Marco, I think Sundowns have changed the landscape when it comes to South African football. You know, they made it cool for players to actually play locally. You know, those guys are actually earning big and also they get to perform in the world stages, you know. I mean, they're going to AFL, you know. I mean, Club World Cup, you know. You participating in all these competitions that everybody is watching across the globe. I mean, why would
things
you not
are good
want
in Kempton Park.
Yeah, why wouldn't you want to be a Mamelodi player?
He will claim it.
I won't.
He will claim it. It's fine.
Ah, Len.
Stone throw.
It's what I do.
But we'll see. We will see. The transfer window is still open. I think that's a little wrap. We've gone over our time for Betway Premiership action.
Sheesh.
And PSL football in general. Teppy, darling, are you ready for us? It's time to go around the world with Teppy Worldwide, brought to you by Betway. Get way more and enjoy the Aviator game. Play the Aviator game and you can be like one of those lucky new millionaires where we saw those R5 bets getting people 5 different winners of that. Remember that one weekend, Super Sub? 5 millionaires made from R5 bets in a single weekend.
Hey, I started flying weekend.
Oh, yes. So you got your license.
Thank you, Teppy.
He got his wings.
So, some drama happening, happened in France. You would recall that. They were playing up against Argentina. They are arch rivals now, and it was quite hostile at the quarterfinals. Players and coaches from both sides clashed on the pitch at the end of the match. As the host booked, they lost spot in the top 4. But now we know that France is actually going through to the finals. It says here that there has been recently animosity between the teams, with Argentina players filmed singing a derogatory song about France's black players in the aftermath of winning the Copa America. You would recall that happened back in July. And French fans booed the Argentine national anthem before the match at the stadium. And obviously, the final whistle highlighted a lot of rivalry and tension. This is one of the beefs I never expected to see, by the way.
Thierry Henry getting involved.
It's crazy.
Wow, it's crazy. Oh, because he's coaching the baby
stage. Coaching the French Olympic side.
He's a Frenchman. And he's also a Frenchman. So we spoke about this the other day. Like, it's... Yeah, it's I'm tired.
What, Len?
A Frenchman
Use your words.
Of African descent as well.
Yeah,
of course.
I'm tired so of trying to justify.
It hits home,
and it's in Paris, so the Argentines got a really warm reception for their songs for that one. But I think we spoke last week about how unacceptable it was, anyway. In general, Enzo Fernandez coming back to Chelsea, and then he's donating money to say sorry, and all there to make a whole big statement that the whole team forgives him and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, so,
I was not expecting this beef though. Like, it's still, it's
but
just
guys,
continuing.
Who
it's so
was
silly.
Watching
I
the Olympics? I'm
not
watching the Olympics anyway, really. Yeah.
Do you think African football fans are the most peaceful?
I
think so.
We are very really decorum.
We are
South Africa in particular is actually quite peaceful from a football standpoint.
I think that's
standpoint.
The term I was looking for.
Decorum. Mm. Ah.
That says 30 minutes later. Pentium 1.
Bantu education.
I think yes, we are.
Yeah.
It gets a bit I wouldn't even want to say it gets rowdy as you go north. Because I mean North Gods were here for, was it the Champions League, for the return leg against Sundowns?
Yeah.
And they just filled the streets of Hatfield singing, wearing their red, and like
just. And we mingle with everyone.
Here, right? If you go, yes, some African fans are naughty.
Yeah.
They will set off those.
Yes.
Lasers.
And they'll have lasers.
But that's everywhere.
Right? But outside of that, racial attacks and
xenophobia.
And you support this team, I support that team, I'm going to treat you violently.
Mm. Yeah,
but like you walk around the wrong side of Glasgow with a Celtic shirt on and you're in trouble.
Yeah, actually, an incident occurred on Saturday where I was seated. It was obviously on the western side where I was seated. It's predominantly Pirates fans. And there was one Kaizer Chiefs fan within the group. And when SuperSport was attacking, he was getting too excited. Mm. He was literally thrown out. You know, so...
To avoid.
He was asked, please leave.
But on the same note...
Because you're an antagonist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. On the same note, we know that probably in world football, I stand to be corrected, there's only one derby where the fans of the teams playing are actually allowed to mix.
Yeah.
It's
recent. But back in your days, Len, it was not like that. You'll remember.
Back in your days, Prof.
But it was...
No, I'm just saying.
I get you.
Okay, Tepi darling, where are we off to next?
That was so funny. Okay, so from France, we are moving over to Spain. Ibiza, to be precise. It says here that activists broke into Messi's Ibiza villa at the start of the week and painted the property red and black while sharing photos of the acts on vandalism on social media. In several of the posts, two members of the group can be seen holding up a banner that says, "Help the planet, eat the rich, abolish the police," in an attempt to denounce government's policies that they believe to be aggravating the climate crisis. So these people are obviously pro-Earth, pro-Mother Earth, pro ecology and conservation, and they went to Messi's home. I just want to read this. It says here, "We tinted Messi's illegal mansion in Ibiza. The mansion is an illegal construction that the footballer acquired for the exorbitant sum of 11 million euros. While this is happening in the Balearic Islands alone, between 2 and 4 people have died as a direct consequence of the heat wave. The richest 1% of the population responsible for the same amount of carbon emissions as the poorest third world country." So basically, these people went into Messi's home and decided to just mess it up.
Climate activists.
Because they're saying that they are doing this for the rest of us and Mother Earth.
Look, we put plastic with plastic, or we avoid plastic, glass with glass, paper with paper.
We recycle.
So now I must not drive to my cheating girlfriend in Pretoria because there's CO2 emissions from
my
car.
No, you need to ride a bicycle.
Hmm. Oh, get an electric car.
How much is that?
How much is an EQ, bro?
And also, electric car, what is it doing to DR Congo?
An EV. And what does produce.
What does it do to DR Congo?
Yeah, they're probably going to come spray paint your Tesla anyway because of lithium mines.
Yes, there to produce go. The batteries that run EVs is probably also a big contributor.
It's detrimental to the environment.
Like I said, I do my bit.
Hey, climate activists, they are a lot. They get involved when it's Formula One. They get involved with footballers because they've got money, etc., etc.
But in fairness, they do have a point. If I was one of them, you know, I would be like, I would go complain to FIFA, complain to the majority of the leagues around the world and say, guys, you realize because you travel so frequently and you travel via
charter,
via planes, the amount of gas that you burn, and you are so close to the ozone layer there, so you are close to ruining the passageway to ruin the climate. Is there a way you can minimize or just try other means of traveling? If I was them, but I'm not.
Okay, Tepi, where are we off to next, darling?
Yeah, no, that's all I have for you. It's been quite dry when it comes to football because obviously of the sports that's happening in... by the way, guys, may I just ask, I'm sure we have been checking out the Olympics. What are your thoughts thus far?
No one cares. Those are my thoughts. Everyone knows my thoughts on the Olympics.
Yes.
Who cares who's watching it? I spoke about...
I love Noah.
I don't like him. I don't like his energy.
I like his arrogance.
He gives off like he's not Usain Bolt. He must there's
only one Usain Bolt.
Yes.
Well done, Tanya, with the gold.
But I said the last weekend, you guys were like, eh.
Yeah, but that's one thing. It's okay. The Olympics. I've said it here before. I said it yesterday. Yes. I think there's some cool memes. I think there's cool discussions around the women in sport who are intersex or DSD or whatever. I think that's an important conversation, etc. But my question is, as cool as it is with that Turkish guy who was shooting and it was a cool photo, who was watching the shooting to have seen that in the first place? That's my question.
The guy who likes shooting.
Aye. Please.
Americans.
I don't know.
Probably most of them.
Yeah.
But wasn't it the Turkian who...
But he was why Turkish. Didn't
the yeah, yeah. He was Turkish, the guy who got the silver medal. But how did America not win in shooting? They've got more guns than people.
Because they shoot randomly.
Yeah. Ah, they like moving targets.
There was no school there.
Oh. Hey.
That joke was dark.
Yeah.
It was so dark, American police are going to shoot
football,
it.
But football semifinals, United States won 1-0 versus Germany. I think this is the women's one.
The ladies, yes.
Yeah, the ladies.
US is going to play Brazil in the final.
It's 2-0 to Brazil now.
Oh, nice.
It's a break.
Yes.
Okay.
US is going to play Brazil in the final.
Yeah. So it's still 2-0. So
when is the final? Friday?
You still Spain won't do anything?
Nah. Brazil is going to go to the final.
Spain play France on Friday in the men's Olympic final.
Yep.
And then Morocco.
That game was actually very interesting.
Playoff with
between Spain and Egypt. I don't know if you check it out.
I thought Egypt is. I think Egypt is out.
Morocco's out.
Egypt is also out.
But that's for bronze now. Morocco will play Egypt for bronze. I think
it's an all African
bronze.
Let's fight for bronze.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, that's all we have for you worldwide.
Well, there you go, and that's the Olympics in a nutshell.
you are so disinterested.
I don't like the Olympics. I said it long ago. Yeah. I don't like the Olympics. Those guys know how to waste money and squander money and not give it to the right people. It reminds me of college sports in America where they can't pay the athletes because it's unethical, but they're busy making money on the side.
The NCAA.
All of them.
College basketball. College basketball, college football.
The
other lady was saying that her rent was not paid for her accommodation, but she's at the Olympics right now. 75%.
You see?
Yeah.
You see? You gotta, this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You gotta hate preseason, right? It literally puts onside people right in the middle of the Parc des Princes.
What?
Penegant.
We are in deep in there.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's all we have from you from around the world in Tippy Worldwide, brought to you by Betway. Get way more. And the Aviator app, check it out, or the Aviator game in the Betway app, rather. Yep. Check out the Aviator game. You can be like one of those lucky millionaires just from a R5 bet. Moving on, England, English football.
What's happening there?
Nothing.
Nothing yet. Well, Julian Alvarez is off to Spain.
Well, yeah,
I heard
$100 million somewhere around that region. 72 million pounds guaranteed up front, and then the rest in bonuses
and add-ons as well.
Good deal for all parties. Manchester City paid £14 million for him just a short time ago to get him from Argentina. Was it River Plate?
Yeah, I think it was then, the Plate. Yeah.
And now they're selling him for big money to Atletico Madrid. Atletico Madrid need a top-class striker. He is a top-class striker. He's going to get more games. Good deal for everyone.
He wanted to play more. So, I mean, we've read and we've heard Pep, when you want to leave, he's not the kind of a manager that's going to stand in your way. You know, and we've heard him making comments that he wants to play more, which I don't understand. What does it mean that he wants to play more? Being one of the players that played the most minutes in football this season.
I think that he's aware. We're all aware that he's number two in the pecking order. If everybody's fit, he doesn't play. But everybody's rested and it's not rotation, he doesn't play.
Yeah, but isn't it what football is about? You play 11 and then you rotate.
Yeah.
No, I want to play. You can't buy me and promise me the world and the World Cup winner.
He doesn't want to be a side chick. He wants to be the main.
Well, let's go see on the other side.
But also, I suppose the deal works for City because it also helps them balance the books.
Yeah.
I guess.
The charges will be less.
What's interesting about City, how good
Why
are City?
Why was it not resolved? When is this whole charges situation going to get resolved, by the way?
Their lawyers are good. Don't worry about it.
Oh, okay.
Don't worry about it.
But I mean, I was thinking before the... Okay.
The only one that's resolved is I heard an interesting story that City were fined something, I think, in the tune of 11 million, 11 pounds. Million pounds for delayed kickoffs.
Oh, yes. For coming out of the tunnels later for second half because Pep sits and talks.
Yes. At least that one, they were found guilty.
How many are remaining now?
No, they don't form part of the 115.
There's still 115 remaining.
Oh, those
that
are
was
still
the 116th
there.
One.
Yes, it was 116th one.
Separate charge.
Yes.
Oh, is it?
Different courts, everything.
Yeah. Wow.
Different charge sheet and police station.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
It's that line over there for that four. You just go to that one. How good are City that when a player leaves because they're not priority there, it turns out they're the greatest? Cole Palmer, prime example. Leave City because surplus to requirements in a way. We don't want to stand in your way. You want to go be the main man somewhere else. And they go become the main man somewhere else. And you look at their transfer figure, Julian Alvarez, we expect him to go do well.
Yeah, no, definitely. But is Palmer, I understood, Marco. Alvarez, he played. You know, he played more than Palmer.
But and Palmer's a Man United fan as well, sir.
But I still say, and I might seem like I'm literally reeling you in, and I'm not. When the big money came, and you are City, and FFP is facing a lot of people, even Chelsea are selling players. Mm. Arsenal are not spending as much as one would expect them to. Newcastle, the same. Crystal Palace is having a field day and now hoping that they're going to close their doors and people will start shopping. We saw what happened with Everton. We saw what happened with Nottingham Forest.
Yeah.
People are trying to avoid that. And if a suitor comes in with monies that make sense for you to at least try balance your books, but still have an almost decent enough squad to compete, you're going to take it.
Of course. It's a no-brainer. It's a business move. Definitely. Yeah. It's not a footballing move because I think he's a decent player. I think if Pep wanted to, he could have convinced him to stay.
When they asked Pep last week, he said that as far as I'm concerned, he's my player.
That's what I'm saying.
And he will play.
So I agree with Len. It could be one of those reasons where, you know what? It's big money move. It's going to help us.
That's why it's a big money move.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have gone on the cheap. There's no way.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you look at it now to also loosen some money. I'll make an example with a couple of teams.
Mm-hmm.
Edin Ketia might be on the move along with Rhys Nelson.
That'll be important for them and for Arsenal.
Arsenal
have spent big money on Calafiori. They also need to get more in their side. They need to get a number nine.
Mm-hmm.
They need to sell in order to build the funds to go back into the market.
Chelsea... Conor Gallagher gone.
There's even the Spanish midfielder who's supposed to be coming in at Arsenal as well, and that's not going to be a cheap move either.
Moreno or something like that. Yes,
something
I
like
think
that.
It's Moreno. Yeah. So if for you to get in, you need to get out, and the monies need to make sense. Man United.
They're lucky they make a lot of money.
Yes, one there too. As
it rains money there.
Mm. Yeah, you're right.
It just pours down through the ceiling.
Yes. At Man United, where they are right now, there's probably about, and we spoke about this, there's probably about how many players?
Sure. There's like three players that they won't sell.
Yes. And now it's worse because Yoro is injured. Apparently he's...
Yeah, Lenny Yoro, 3 months. He's had a successful foot surgery, minimum of 3 months recovery.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Man United, I'm surprised that everyone's making such a noise about that because Lisandro Martinez is fit. Harry Maguire is fit.
Because you mentioned Harry Maguire. That's why people are making noise.
Anyway, but then he should have been sold.
No, true. But
is this the moment where Marco sneaked in United?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
No.
I
responded to Len. Let's be fair. Be fair when it's fair.
Okay, sorry, my friend.
Respect my name.
I was referring to United, actually. So United, the Rashfords can go. Anthony should actually be put at the door with a for sign sale right now.
I saw something saying that Manchester United are making an offer to PSG of £50 million and Anthony for the Uruguayan midfielder that they want. And PSG said no to the deal. They're holding out for just the 50 million.
Wow.
Rumors of Saudi League for Antony, which
I think
is
going to work for him.
Chelsea
is Brazilian. Chelsea wants money.
Chelsea did that where they needed money because they in the financial fair play trouble and they sold players to Saudi League because it's an easy way to get more money than the valuation you would get from other countries. Easy way to bring in income. Surprise, Casemiro's still there at Man United. He's one that you should be looking to get money from the Saudis as well.
He's made enough at Real Madrid, I suppose.
Yeah.
He still wants to play at the highest level. And he's one of the highest paid players at United.
So you need to get him off the wage.
So Casemiro must go.
Antony must go.
Antony, if a good suitor comes in for Rashford, I'm opening the door for him to leave.
Yeah.
Martial is gone, eh?
Martial is gone.
Off the books for free. He hasn't found a new club yet.
There's
Like De Gea?
Sure. There's big talk
their
that...
Their salaries are high. That's the problem. Clubs don't want to take them.
Except if you're Saudi.
So, Gift Real G saying Antony won't leave. Guys, what about Wan-Bissaka saying... They're saying that he's... Wan-Bissaka's a defender, right?
Yeah, the right back. He's going to go to West Ham.
To West Ham, yeah.
Then Man United need to go into the market again. They're looking at the right back in Bayern Munich.
And Newcastle is interested in that. That guy was centre-back for England now.
Mark Gahey.
From Crystal Palace.
Mark Gahey.
Yeah, Mark Gahey.
So that's why I'm saying Palace are looking to padlock their gate because people have not finished buying. There's still Mateta who can still be taken.
Mateta's doing well with France now in the Olympics. Yes.
And what about Napoli? They wanted to let go of Spider-Man.
Osimhen.
Yeah.
Osimhen, he wants to go. Agreed. Yeah. He's going. He will leave this transfer window.
He's not even part of pre-squad, from what I read. Traveling squad.
The reason that it makes sense for Chelsea, for Osimhen, is because Napoli want Lukaku. Chelsea need to get Lukaku off their books somehow. It's a good deal for everyone.
He's probably one of the longest players that has been on Chelsea's book without playing for Chelsea, eh?
Yeah, and he's costing them money because all of those loans don't cover his entire salary.
Yeah, because a portion of it comes from Chelsea, right?
Yeah, because no one can cover their salary.
Olmo?
Apparently Danny Olmo, Barcelona.
I saw that somewhere. Yeah.
But Barcelona, and I remember Marco, you saying that they're looking good financially. Things are not seemingly getting any better.
No. I said that they've stabilized slightly, not looking good. There's nothing looking good in the books of Barcelona. They need to be very careful. Nico Williams is the one that they've been saying, we're trying to get La Liga to approve the deal so that we can get Nico Williams. So they're looking to get that Spain dream team of Danny Olmo pairing up with Nico Williams.
Mm-hmm. But Nico is an athletic boy through and through because his brother plays there with him. And
yeah, but it's Barcelona.
Word is people are urging him not to leave. So he's like, yo, why are you leaving Bilbao? We're doing well. I think Bilbao are in the Europa League. Yes, in the Europa League. You play in Europa League.
Ah, bro, it's Barca. I'm still saying.
Barcelona Champions League. Of that level.
Barcelona is not the same.
Bro, it does not matter. You've got a player like Gundogan who left Manchester City after winning a treble.
King has a very good point
here. Wanting to play for Barca.
When Barcelona returns to Camp Nou, they'll make a lot of money and it will help them a lot. They've not done well with this stadium move.
But when are they coming back?
When is it done?
A year and a half now.
No, it's been postponed and postponed and postponed. Number two, the biggest thing that is actually holding them back right now is with the deals that they were making under Laporte's advice. The TV rights money that they should have been getting in the coming number of years, they're not getting that. They're not going to get that. And I think from a football team's perspective, the TV rights money are probably your biggest revenue.
Yeah, that's how your Real Madrid makes their money.
So Barcelona are not there anymore.
May I ask about the Community Shield?
Even that Messi deal was like, yo, the Messi deal to get him back.
They
spend a lot of money.
Again, getting rid of players to help them with situations and try to balance the books. Get rid of Pedri. Frankie de Jong, they had a chance to do it a couple of seasons ago with Man United.
Because he's been injured.
Yes. get rid of Pedri, and they went to go buy Rafinha, a gamble that never paid up.
Because Rafinha is like Anthony that went to private school.
Yes.
Send him to Saudi, get some money.
That's what I'm saying. And then I don't see Yamal leaving. That's the only price position that I think they have. But with everybody else, just try offload assets in jail.
Yeah, what I meant to say earlier when I'm talking about Messi, not bring him back, there was a time where they could offload him for big money. Mm-hmm. And they missed that opportunity, remember?
Yeah, and then he went for free.
Yeah.
Just to get the salary off the books. Okay. Let's move on. I think that's transfer dealings in a nutshell.
Yes.
Really?
Oh, and West Ham going in for...
Oh, yes. The Dortmund striker.
Fulcrum.
Oh, yes. I can't pronounce it. Yes. It's hard to pronounce it.
He was stellar in the Champions League.
Yeah.
No. Was he not in Euros? I saw him in Euros.
But Champions League. He actually underperformed in Euros.
He did. From what he showed us for Dortmund last season. Yeah, he was insane.
Good signing though. West Ham are looking good in the markets. I think Wan-Bissaka is actually a good player. And I think he'll suit the system at West Ham. I think they're doing good business, but they got big money getting the Douglas Luiz went to Juve. So they got some money there.
Yeah.
So they can... Oh, wait, that's Aston Villa's Douglas Luiz. My apologies.
Yes, that's Villa that got that.
Sorry, West Ham. You know, it's
the colors. Of the kit. Yeah.
It's that burgundy and blue. But West Ham, they've still got Declan Rice money to spend. I don't know.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, so...
They're good. They're chilling. They are cruising nice.
Yeah. I don't expect them to qualify for Europe, but they should finish better than they did last season. They had struggles last season.
Yeah.
They should finish better than that. Aston Villa is an interesting one. They are looking at Joao Felix. Because no one wants Joao Felix.
Which is
sad. Joao Felix? Barcelona is not going to hold on to...
No. They can't afford it.
Yeah.
He's not, he didn't show enough in Barcelona for them to like now.
So he can't go back to Atletico?
Atletico Madrid don't want to keep him. They were pretty ready to ship him off as well, especially now they're spending money on Julian Alvarez.
Where would he best fit? Aston Villa,
if they can get that deal done, he'll fit very well at Aston Villa. Unai Emery's great. Yeah. He's Champions League football. He's a top class player.
If I'm Newcastle, flip.
Money.
If I'm Manchester United, I'd be looking at him.
Newcastle has got money problems. They've got problems. Oh, and I think their problems might actually double because now England is like looking for a new manager. And
Unai?
How things might end up, we don't know.
Eddie Howe.
Yeah.
Oh, Eddie, sorry. Yeah.
So
I don't think that's going to... I don't think Eddie.
But I mean, why is it so quiet? I mean, it's been a couple of weeks now that these names have been put up, and
there's no football.
Yeah,
they're busy cooking.
They don't have games.
But actually, if you think about it, I hear what Zippy's saying because the international break is just now.
Yeah, because it's once the league starts, I think they play two games.
Just bring Big Sam.
When the Betway Premiership starts, the international break would have just ended.
Yeah, I'm talking about EPL right now.
Oh, EPL is going to play two games, then
that's what I'm saying.
Break, yes.
Two games, then international.
So we should be getting some response, right?
They can use
about
a...
About who?
Oh.
How?
They can use the manager. The assistant coach, because you're not in a hurry. It's not a Nations League. It's not a...
It's friendly.
So it's a normal friendly.
It's friendlies. Yeah, use the assistant. Yeah, whatever. Use anyone. Make Declan Rice manager for the day. Who cares? Doesn't matter. It's England, they got lots of quality there. Conor Gallagher going to Atletico Madrid. Done deal. Gonna happen in the next few hours.
Yeah, plus he plays rock and roll as well. He's like, what do you call that? This
Chelsea getting money in. They spent big. They spent very big. We forget almost what there's the Brighton player that they brought in.
There's Moise Caicedo. There's Cucurella.
Enzo Fernandez was big money.
Jackson as well.
Yeah.
I remember Jackson also came in.
They've spent big. They need to get people
Caicedo
off the books.
Caicedo was actually the most expensive one.
And they're lucky.
But again, what are they doing there? It looks like they don't know what they're doing, these people.
No, but it's this season is starting to look like it. They're recovering
money
nicely.
Weren't they?
I heard an interesting comment
in one of the podcasts that I listened to, I just forgot which one it is, and the way one of the gentlemen was describing Chelsea and the owners, he said, we must remember that what's happening at Chelsea now, don't be too surprised with it, because the owners are venture capitalists from America, so they see their players as assets. Buying and selling them is purely for making money.
Mm. There's no emotion, there's nothing.
But they're not making lots of money now. They're spending way more than they're making. They're hoping to invest in the future.
Long game.
That's why they buy players and they put them on 7-year contracts and then they don't perform. Mm-hmm.
Long game. Long game.
Yeah, it always worries me when it's not football people at a club. Anyway, I think that's a wrap on some transfer business. Plastic Manchester Derby this weekend.
Man United will win it again.
Who cares? Right?
I mean, sorry, they will win again against City. That's what I mean.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, City usually don't do well in FA. Yeah.
In the community.
Community, yeah.
Yeah, they've done well in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
And
again, it's one of it's a preseason.
Is it an empty
game,
and eight type of preseason?
Didn't they lose it against Liverpool the other time?
It's a empty and eight 31. Still has
some stature.
No, the Community Shield. You change the entire lineup of your squad at halftime.
Penalties.
You can make 11 substitutions. A friendly game.
They lost it to Liverpool. This season where they lost it to Liverpool. If you can go back to sorry for having two conversations at the same time.
Yeah.
Parallel. Continue.
Yeah, no, we're just talking about how City loses the FA Community Shield.
We're talking about Plastic, sorry.
Oh, yeah. Did Arsenal won Community Shield last season, right?
Yes.
Against City.
Against City.
So we're looking at the season before that. City lost it against Liverpool. That's what Super Sub is alluding to.
Right.
I can't remember.
So are we still calling it a Plastic Cup or is it an important cup?
It's a Plastic Cup.
It's preseason.
You don't parade that thing.
But Ten Hag will remind everyone when he does win it how good a job he's doing.
I mean, a win is a win. Okay.
Well, anyway, good luck to the teams.
Marco Berry Studio saying the Community Shield is like the Toyota Cup. Preseason,
is
guys.
It though?
Yeah, it's like winning a Tiger Cup or an Emirates Cup. It's nothing.
Hey, it's the Emirates Cup this weekend.
Yeah, Wednesday night. Tomorrow night.
Yes, tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, it starts. Yes, Emirates Cup tomorrow night.
But we're going to play...
That's a nice preseason tournament, actually.
Yeah, we're going to play the Edin Ketias, guys who don't regularly play the Reece Nelsons.
Also, put them out there so that other clubs can shop.
Yes, but Saka still needs to rest because he just came back from holiday and just trying to get back.
All the England boys won't play.
Right.
They're all going to wait for thing. I don't think any of the England boys will play this weekend in Community Shield either. Because their season went on too long.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be very weak sides. Manchester United kicking off this season like they did last in a Manchester derby in a cup final with a million injuries.
Yeah.
Once again, what's going on? What's with
Please
the staff
Please speak
there?
Life into your team. Speak life into
They've
success.
Got injuries.
They must, go see, know, they like, must go see a Sangoma somewhere.
Like, speak. Some
I think
positivity.
So, because there's something there's
Remember
something
Len,
wrong
oh, by the way, we're still holding you to that. Remember Len said that last week that actually United is going to be top of the lock, right?
Yes.
So speak life into your team.
No, but if you can see what, you know, things that have got potential, you must say them. That's why I said what I said. And that's the long and short.
Are we still playing a game?
Yes, we are. Let's get into that.
It was 2022, Len.
Okay. So that's a wrap on Transfer Dealings, Community Shield. Not much to look forward to.
Guys, did you hear that Golden Arrows has got a new sponsor, some rich oil company or something to that effect, petroleum?
Richards Bay,
and it's 100 million. How are we not talking about how a South African team is getting a 3-year sponsorship of 100
but
million?
But then again, what did I say? There's money that is being pumped into football. If Richards Bay can get 100 million, why cannot that... A company out there that has money come and sponsor the VAR.
The interesting bit is that company, the owner of that gas company, petroleum, does he own Richards Bay or is he sponsoring the team?
I heard that he does not own the team, but now he's calling the shots because the story is that when he came in, the first thing he said was, we need to let go of the coach. And that's why Vusimuzi was let go of. But the...
spill the tea, baby.
So Vusimuzi was let go of because he came in there. He's like, okay, so Mr. Moneybags, the first thing I want is for you guys to remove the coach. We want a more experienced coach. And the story is that Brandon is going to be the new coach.
Mm.
Anyway.
shifting tides in Richards Bay.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, this is Marco's Ballon d'Or quiz. Of course, Ballon d'Or coming in October. I have a lot to say about Ballon d'Or normally, but there have been some great players to win it in the past. This is how it's going to work. If you look up at the screen, you'll see there's a blurred out player.
Are you talking to us?
Yes, you guys. You guys all have an opportunity to answer, either raise your hand or say who you think it is or whatever.
Just one of you,
whoever guesses it first, gets the point.
Okay.
I'm going to start with an easy one. Who's the player to have won the most Ballon d'Or awards?
Tepi.
Yes, Tepi.
It's Messi.
It is Lionel Messi. That's how the game works. That's a point for Tepi.
Yay.
As easy as that.
Act like you're excited. Okay.
This player was a surprise winner of the Ballon d'Or in 2001. He is English.
Michael Owen.
Michael Owen, obviously.
That's Len Moleko.
You must say your name.
Okay, but just say it out loud. Okay, get excited. Shout. Okay, Michael Owen, that's correct. That's a point for Len Moleko. This player is the first winner of the Ballon d'Or prize in the 1950s.
Pele, Tepi.
Not Pele.
He's
Maradona, Tepi.
It's not Puskas. He's English.
George Best.
It's not George Best.
Geoff Hurst.
George Best is Welsh and he wasn't playing in the 50s.
I don't know who that is, Marco. Len is my savior. Yeah. He was, I think, about 10 that time.
Are we ready? Don't Google it. Wait. Are you Googling?
No.
She's always Googling that one.
Let me ask, was he part of the 66 World Cup winning squad with England?
No.
Sir Alex
Ferguson. Is he sir?
He's a sir.
See, I said sir, so
is
I'm
it
close.
Bobby Charlton?
It's not Sir Bobby Charlton.
What does he look like?
Why?
In the 50s.
In the 50s.
Ah, no. I don't know, Marco.
Five, four, three, two, one. Sir Stanley Matthews.
Okay.
I wouldn't have guessed.
Sporting a Blackpool shirt there.
Sir Stanley Super Sport United. Matthews.
Stan Matthews, yeah.
Yeah. You must give clues, Marco.
See, I asked what he looks like, but he's white.
Okay, I can't shift over to the next one because it seems to be in the wrong order because I see now that the next one wasn't blurred out. Okay.
But you can give clues about what picture it was.
Mm. I'm going to give clues. This player.
Yeah.
This is an easy one.
I already know the answer.
Even me.
Me too.
No, I knew it.
Did you see it already or what?
No, I didn't see it, but I know.
Okay, this is an easy one. This player went on to become a head of state.
Len.
Yes, Len.
George Weah.
George Weah. And Len wins the Ballon d'Or quiz.
He's the only president to have won the Ballon d'Or.
Okay, whatever.
He's and also the only African player to have won the Ballon d'Or.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, only African to have won Ballon d'Or.
Oh, yes, I know the guy. He even dedicated it to Mandela. Yes, he did. He dedicated his Ballon d'Or to Nelson Mandela. Yes.
Okay.
Check it.
Was it him or was it Ruud Gullit who did that?
Ruud
Gullit. That's the only African that won a Ballon d'Or, the one who dedicated to Nelson Mandela. Who is it?
Okay, I know there's something that Ruud Gullit dedicated to Mandela.
I think a lot of people dedicated to Mandela. A mandala, friend.
Well, congratulations. That's a wrap of the Marco's Ballon d'Or quiz brought to you by Betway. Okay. Get way more. And that's not the only thing to wrap up. It's also a wrap up of Onside ZA brought to you by
Betway. Okay, so it was a
2-1. Yeah. There were four. But yes, 2-1 because no one got Sir Stanley Matthews.
Stan we didn't get, yeah.
But there's one that I'm sharing with Lende.
But I still get two.
So how is it 2-1 then?
Two.
So it's like 1.5 2-1-1.
You guys love to win these things. Congratulations, yeah. Len. By those rules, you'd be Quizmaster again next week. But we might rotate it a little bit. Anyway, that was Onside ZA brought to you by Betway. Thank you so much, Danko, to the Ballers. As always, you are the most important part of the show and we love interacting with you. Thank you, as always, for joining us here. Thank you to you, Mr. Professor Len Moleko.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Tepi, darling.
Thanks, Ale.
And thank you, Super Sub. But most of all, thank you once again to you. Remember, stay onside with us and Betway. Don't be offside.
Be onside. That goal means thank you.
Peace.
That is a slurper now.
I was slurping.